summer. Which way the wind blows when this day's done. Good morning and welcome to the Sustainability Sessions. I am your host, Rebecca Sayre, and with me this morning is our guest, Terry Thalen of Living Shelter Architects. Hello, Terry.
Hello, hello. Good to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who are familiar with this programming, Terry is a former host who I was fortunate enough to be a guest with, gosh, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And funny how life twists and turns. I'm now the host and now you're the guest.
Yeah, it's good to mix it up sometimes.
Yeah, it's good to see you over Zoom. And today we're going to be talking about a bunch of things, but it's going to be mainly centered around some work Terry has been doing and been sharing with the Northwest Eco Building Guild, which we're all big fans of and involved with in this program. This program is really tries to center on tangible, practical things that people can do to live more sustainably, lessen our carbon footprint, and live more in line with what this planet needs. And the Eco Building Guild is a great group of folks trying to work through and push forward on the cutting edges of that stuff. And in fact, right now, they are hosting virtually last week and then this coming week, their annual 10 by 10 Slam Summit, which that's kind of like a TED Talk format. It's really cool. Terry's going to talk about how they're making this work virtually. Usually it's like this fabulous, you know, 10 slides, 10 minutes, powerful presentation. And Terry is actually a presenter this coming Tuesday. But Terry, can you tell us how that's going and what you a little bit about what you've seen? And
well, It's going well for having this new format. It's, you know, everybody has to get used to something, doing things different right now. And we're all missing being in the same room and, you know, giving hugs and sharing food and
hugging
kind of things. The summit actually is the, it's the current way of bringing together the entire guild to learn together and share ideas and share time. Years ago, it used to be a retreat where we would go to a location away from Seattle and we'd all, you know, like spend the weekend together. And I guess about 6 years ago, they brought it into the city to be more inclusive and allow people to who have kids to go to the event during the day and then be at home with their families in the evening. And the SLAM used to be separate from the summit. So when they brought it into town, they put them together. So it's now this big gala event. And this is the first year it's being done remotely. And the people who are organizing or have organized this whole event found this really cool platform called Hey Summit, HEYSUMMIT. And the actual platform, when you open it up, you are presented with a room full of tables and you can see who's sitting at the different tables. And so you can choose which table to sit at and then a chat room opens for that table. So you can connect with the people there. And then if you, you know, wanna go talk to somebody else, you just click on another table and then you're in another group. So it's taken that breakout session and put it into a format that people are familiar with. It's like being in a conference room with a bunch of tables and your friends are sitting all around.
That's so cool.
So I've really enjoyed that part of it. I've attended several online conferences this past year, and this is the first one that felt like I was actually a participant instead of just, you know, watching from my couch, so to speak.
A Zoom viewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cool thing, again, for those out there listening, is that the summit is still in action because of this new format. They've broken it up into two sections. So the next section is upcoming on the 20th through the 22nd, and that means that you can go participate, just like Terry has described. And if you go to slamsummit.heysummit, and that's like HEYSUMMIT, so slamsummit.heysummit.com, you can see how you can get tickets, and there's a schedule, and you can replay prior presentations, and you can be part of all of this that we're talking about. So that's really exciting, and Terry's going to tell us a little bit more detail later on about how you can pay differently and pick and choose and all that kind of stuff. But Terry, could you tell us a little bit about what we were talking yesterday? You were talking about how the sessions you've listened to thus far really made you feel hopeful, which, boy, we need that these days.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of what you've seen, what kind of something stood out for you. We talked a little bit about all the opportunities you're seeing that are opening up for industrial hemp, for example.
Yes. Well, I've seen four sessions so far, plus the first night of the slam, so the first five. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the sessions that I've seen, one was Hempitecture. The company is called Hempitecture, and they provide, and they're a distributor for hemp products to be used in building. And industrial hemp is now starting to really make its way into the building scene in different forms.
I just want to say really quickly that I actually saw them last year, and I was so excited about this and the entire concept that I actually called them up and I said, how can I help you? And they were just getting started, but I know that they're very inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been familiar with the Hempcrete, which has been around for several years, and it's basically taking hemp that's been chopped up. They take the stems, the woody stems. That's the part that's got some structural integrity, and they chop it up and then they put it in this slurry of a binder, and they create, you know, you can pour it into forms, or you can spray it on walls, and it has an insulating value as well as just it's a great air sealer. But now they're starting to shred the fibers and making bat insulation. So you think of a fiberglass bat, which we've all been familiar with for so many years. And these hemp bats are a little more dense, and they're not irritating at all. So you can work it with your hands, you can cut it, you can stuff it into cavities. So that, and the fact that it's a natural material instead of spun glass,
makes it
much more friendly for people in the building industry. And I think there's a whole social justice issue around healthy products, as well as the idea that people want to live with healthy products. There's all the people who manufacture and install products that are affected even more than someone who's, you know, exposed to it. And when it's in place and covered up, but if you're exposed to it as it's being installed, it can really be a health hazard to certain people. And hemp is clean, it's non-toxic, it's natural. So I'm excited about that, and the fact that the industrial hemp industry is just getting started in the United States as hemp and, you know, different types of cannabis products are being used at different levels of our culture and our society. And the flower is a very small piece of what's happening in the industry.
Now, I think it's so exciting. I mean, this is cutting edge stuff. I know that that company you just mentioned is a Northwest company, which is nice for those of us here in the Pacific Northwest. And it's my understanding, and I know what got me so excited about hearing about the hempcrete, and I know that they're still working on some structural aspects of that, but that it actually pulls carbon out of the atmosphere. Does the insulation do the same?
Yes, and actually what happens is carbon is absorbed by the plant as it's growing, and then creating a building product with it makes it sequestered. So it sequesters that carbon.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I have heard that it will actually pull carbon out of the air while, like hempcrete, while it's setting, that it actually collects carbon out of the air. I'm not as familiar with that particular aspect. But because hemp is so fast growing, I mean, wood also sequesters carbon.
Right.
But hemp is an annually renewable resource, or even multiple harvests during the year in certain circumstances, where a tree is going to take, you know, 20, 30 years at the least to be a appropriate to be used in construction materials.
Well, I think it's so exciting to see this forum that is giving space for these again cutting edge technologies and ideas and thinkers and doers. And as I've worked on in my life in a variety of these issues, I mean, I was just talking, and those of you who have listened to the show know that I work in real estate. I work with Infinity Real Estate and Development, but I also have a background in environmental advocacy, working with the built environment. And it's funny, I have these clients that are moving up from New Orleans in part because they want to get away from the storms, right? Like this climate change is impacting people all the time. Like their car flooded twice this year. It just stinks. And so when we were, my client was talking about in frustration about how, you know, the aging infrastructure of New Orleans is just simply not prepared to deal with the onslaught of what we've created. And we had this conversation about, like, you know, technology of 100 years ago was a technology of 100 years ago. It's just there are changes happening. There are infrastructures aging. So we're going to have to replace it. And it's exciting. It's scary. And you know, as big as those things are, we're learning so much. We know more. We know different things than we knew back then. And I personally am so committed to just being on the train of, like, how can we do it? What are the answers? And this summit, are people really exploring and practicing this next wave of ideas, which is exciting. Yeah. And when we spoke yesterday, you just had some really great thoughts about hope and help. And you said that there's a lot of focus on, because there's a lot of professionals involved, building industry professionals involved in the SLAM Summit. And it was helping clients understand the why and the how. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that that's the next step, right?
I think so, especially for the general public, the people who are not the professionals. I think the professionals already understand the why, at least the ones who've been doing it. They understand the need.
Well, I'm kind of thinking for the radio audience, who are, you know, a whole mix of people, that what is the why? What is the how?
Right. Well, the why is basically climate change and the fact that there are more and more people trying to live in the same space our world is finite and the resources we have are finite. As we get smarter, we can use those finite resources much better and use less of them. So there's enough to go around. There's also health. There's, as I mentioned with the building materials and the fact that the installers are highly exposed to them. There's personal health, there's overall public health. There's, you think about when materials are manufactured, if there are toxins in them, those toxins become concentrated at the point of manufacture and damage the health of the communities that are around the plants that things are being manufactured. And so, I mean, the why is really about maintaining our health and our, the social justice side of things, because of, those manufacturing plants are usually in places that people can't afford to live somewhere else. So that means we're exposing people who are in a lower income strata to more toxic materials.
Right. And what about?
And then it's like, I can go on and on about the whys. It's,
well, let's also, I always want to hit the issue of cost, because I think that that's a kind of top of mind concern for folks. But we talked yesterday also just about cost and how efficient systems, save money, and maybe it sometimes is more expensive up front, but over time, or also as these new technologies come online, cost goes down, and just touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, like the hemp bat insulation is now about the same cost as fiberglass insulation. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting started, so it's going to be less as time goes on. Quite often there's a little bit of additional cost up front, but the payback on things is so much faster than it used to be. Like solar panels on a house, you get a payback in about 5 years. Even in Seattle, you get a payback in like 3 years in sunnier regions. So, and after that, energy's free, right? And they last for a long time. It's really about investment. You invest in your future now, and you get paybacks not too far down the road.
And I always like to say, when we mentioned solar, I was just talking with a friend of mine who has a great solar company. These guys happen to be SunPath Electric, but there's other great solar companies in our region. A&R Solar is another great one. But just always, for people who are listening, I've talked to elected officials, we got to make sure that we have incentives and we have systems in place that help people make that initial solar investment. Just want to put that plug out there. Because I know that those working in solar, that's still not stable enough. And it should be.
Right.
So there's a two-sided thing. It's not just the individual. It's got to make sure that we're investing in the energy systems of today and tomorrow. We don't need to be investing in the energy systems of the past.
And you were asking about the why versus the how. The summit is a great place to learn about the how. And the new things that people are experiencing and developing and bringing to the public. Another session that I didn't participate in yesterday, but when you buy a ticket, you can go back and listen to the presentation later. So I plan to do this. There's a company in Europe that's developed this concrete that actually not only absorbs carbon, but it's created with these little pockets, and they're using it in seawalls, and critters are living in those little pockets.
Well, we've got that in Seattle, our new seawall right under the aquarium. People should go check that out. Yes, indeed.
That's cool.
Which is so funny. Again, it's just a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more understanding. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This is still Puget Sound. We probably ought to create some places for critters to live instead of a slick concrete wall, right? It's just
right.
And we've got a few minutes left before we need to go to break, but I want to, when we come back, because speaking of homes, the next thing we're going to talk about, because Miss Terry here is not only somebody who's participating in the summit, she's presenting, because you just finished a remodel of your own home, correct?
Yeah, and I was able to really use it as a model for a lot of the things that we're promoting for our clients or are educating our clients about. So it's a place that I can kind of test things out, see how mm-hmm. they work. I'm at zero net electricity. There's all sorts of things I can talk about my house, but I'll be presenting on Tuesday about mm-hmm. details, the story around there. There's some great story that came out of this project as well.
And one of the things that we talked about yesterday when we were prepping the show was how, again, that adaptability factor is just key. Is like the more you learn, the more you realize the pathway may be slightly different than the one that you were, you set out upon.
Yeah, most definitely. You gotta leave space for the surprises to guide you.
And before we go to break, because again, this is so exciting. I want to go back to again, ecobuildingguild.org is the website for the Northwest Eco Building Guild. They've got great classes coming up. You should go check those out. Again, this is a great resource of people who are just dying to teach you, share with you, collaborate with you on some of these great technologies and great ways to save energy and money and work on updating your home or if you're building or all that stuff. But this SLAM Summit is happening. It's you're right in the middle of it. You can go, as Terry said, go see the various sessions that took place last week, but also prepare for this week. And you can visit slamsummit.heysummit, which is like Hey Summit, H-E-Y-S-U-M-M-I-T, slamsummit.heysummit.com. And that way you can get tickets, you can look at some replays, you can check in who the speakers are, learn more. And just in the next few minutes, Terry, can you tell us a little bit about, people can pay for like a small group of sessions or the whole thing, or how's that go?
Well, let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
But then I can actually look at a resource here so I have the right information.
Okay, that makes total sense. Since we can just talk a little bit more about what else we've learned with this current summit. And basically it's like, how do we make people's lives more affordable as we respond to climate change? And again, how do we just be preparedness and resilience was one of the things that we talked about yesterday, because that's kind of just how we have to roll. Do you want to talk just a little bit more about that concept?
Sure. Well, I think resilience is really being ready for the changes that are coming. So that's, knowing how to grow your own food, knowing how to keep yourself comfortable, even if your house isn't perfectly insulated right now, and how to do some upgrades. Collecting rainwater is a great resilience exercise. But really, it's about being prepared and being without going into the full-on prepper mode. Although for some people, that's a sense of security, and if you know, that's the right thing for some people to do. You know, efficiency is part of resilience, but I also think that being being in conversation about it, being open, talking mm-hmm. to your neighbors, learning who your neighbors are, what their strengths are, so you can support each other. I think that whole idea of community engagement and community support has come to the forefront during COVID as we're learning that, you know, hey, my neighbor is not comfortable going to the grocery store. I'll pick up their groceries for them.
Right.
That kind of thing is going on in my neighborhood. I'm hoping it's going on all around. But we have to be, we also have to be ready for some people, like you were talking about your clients moving up to New Orleans. We have to be ready for some migration. Right. I mean, there are
climate refugees.
There are climate refugees already, and the data points to that becoming more and more of an issue as time goes on, as seawaters rise, as you know, there's desertification in areas that you know are their mm-hmm. groundwater is drying up. People are moving in droves, and the other communities that they're moving to have to be resilient enough to accept them.
We've got to, it's a changing time. The good thing, and we're going to need to run to break here, but it is a changing time. The good news in all this crazy stuff is at least there are some folks working hard on the solutions, and the Northwest Green Building Slam Summit is one of those spots that you can get some hope and get some ideas, and that's what we're talking about today. I am your host, Rebecca Sayre. This is the Rebecca Sayre. This is the Sustainability Sessions. I put a lot of hard S's in the name of this. I'm so glad y'all are out there listening to us today, and we're going to go to break. Our guest is Terry Thalen with Living Shelter Architects, and we will be back.
So are you interested in green building, energy efficiency, and sustainable practices? The Northwest Eco Building Guild is a 501c3 community of builders, designers, suppliers, and homeowners concerned with ecological building in the Pacific Northwest. The Guild empowers people through educational activities, classes, and events through the year. To learn more on how to go solar, conserve water, lower your energy bills, and create a healthy home environment, visit ecobuilding.org/events today.
Lift your spirits with us every Friday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 1150 a.m. KKNW Seattle. We will be introducing you to fascinating people, fun places to visit, and activities that are guaranteed to lift your spirits. Miss a show? No worries, you can visit 1150kknw.com and click on our archive page, or like Lift Your Spirits with Dina Marie on Facebook for upcoming guests and events. To contact me, Dina Marie, visit dina-marie.com. Thank you so much for listening.
Are you looking for a realtor? Rebecca Sayre from Infinity Real Estate and Development in Seattle is a real estate broker with a passion for helping people with an enjoyable and successful home buying experience. Infinity is focused on empowering positive futures for each of our clients as well as the community. With a deep local knowledge in green and sustainable properties and housing models, Rebecca is committed to connecting people with the right property. She can help you access a home that will increase your quality of life, reduce electromagnetic and toxic product exposure, plus your carbon footprint. Rebecca serves on the Northwest Eco Building Guild's Education Committee, where she is helping develop a series of courses for people who have an interest in living more sustainably, be it in a home or an apartment, through classes that share the tricks, tools, and resources available. To connect with an agent that serves you and your community, reach out to Rebecca at rebecca@infinityred.com today.
Tune in every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m. for the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer. Learn from and be inspired by local leaders, thinkers, and problem solvers who are tackling the sustainable living questions through invention, collaboration, and hard work. This lively and thought-provoking show focuses on tangible, practical measures that we can all take to reduce our carbon footprint and rethink how we relate to the resources of our natural world. Don't forget, that's the Sustainability Sessions with host Rebecca Sayer, every third Friday on Lift Your Spirits Radio at 8 a.m.
Bringing good vibes to the Puget Sound and the world. Alternative Talk 1150. This day is done.
Set your intention, dream with care. Tomorrow's new day for everyone. Brand new moon, brand new sun.
Good morning. We are back from break. This is the Sustainability Sessions. I am your host, Rebecca Sayer. And my guest today is the wonderful Terry Thalen of Living Shelter Architects. Terry, am I saying your last name right?
You are. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
I realize I've just called you that for years and didn't really know. And for those of you who are super fans of this show, you may know that this was a show that actually Carrie used to do with another colleague of ours, Laura Block Elfin, and they are Elfline. Sorry, Laura, I'm terrible with names this morning. And I actually inherited the show from Carrie and Laura. So it's so great to have you today. Carrie is a guest, talking about the fabulous work that you're doing on your own home and that you are sharing this coming week at the Northwest Green Building Slam Summit.
Yeah. Well,
glad thanks. To have you here.
It's good to be back on air. I've had a lot of great experiences being in radio for many years. I used to have my own show before I worked with Laura on this one. So it's something near and dear to my heart. I enjoy sharing ideas and talking to people and getting people kind of interested in sustainable lifestyles and, you know, some of the choices that they have to make their homes and their lives healthier and more comfortable.
All right, cool. And you've been doing that professionally as an architect with Living Shelter Architects. Want to give you a shout out there. What is your what's your website?
Simple. It's livingshelter.com.
Okay. So if anybody wants to talk to Terry about all the great things that she does, you can reach her there. And you can also watch her on Tuesday as part of the Northwest Green Building Slam Summit. Again, if you're curious as you're listening, you can go to, and we're going to talk about it more at the end about some of the details about how you can get involved and watch and participate remotely from this very cool, unique platform, Hay Summit, they're using to create this programming. And Terry, you were just saying earlier that it's been really nice. It's been kind of like you're at a real conference.
Yeah. The platform interface looks like a conference room with tables, and you can see other, you know, who's sitting at each table, and you can choose to go join them at their table, and then it's like a breakout room, so you can have conversations on video chat. And then they've got like the sponsor tables off to the side, so you can go learn about different products that the sponsors represent. And it's fun to be able to actually participate at that level in something that, you know, I've been going to live for years, and the other conferences that I've experienced so far this year online have not been nearly as satisfying. So it's great that whoever developed this Hey Summit platform, I think, really hit the nail on the head.
And again, we're such a weird time that we live in, but it's creating opportunities for innovation, which we need on a whole bunch of fronts. And this Slam Summit is certainly chock full of people who are innovating and thinking and sharing and building community. And you can all check it out. For those of you listening out there, go to slamsummit.heysummit.com. Again, that's like Hey Summit. So slamsummit.heysummit.com. And you can check out what Terry's going to be sharing about in a moment and a whole bunch of other stuff that's upcoming. You can even watch replays of what's already happened. And all sorts of great stuff by checking out the Slam Summit. So Terry, you're presenting on Tuesday about what you've done on your own home. And I love having you here as a guest because you are, I mean, again, you're not only the architect, but you are a practitioner. You are an ongoing, active learning practitioner. We just spoke about resilience and adaptability. You are living that. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Well, I've always kind of walked my talk. I got the opportunity to do that fully with my own home just 3 years ago, I guess. Time is feeling a little surreal right now. But I mean, I think a lot of architects, especially architects that focus on a particular thing, like I focus on green homes, we do some commercial work too, but most of our work is for people who are, you know, creating home. And I think most of the people in my line of work always dream of doing this for themselves, but sometimes it's kind of like the cobbler's children have no shoes. You do stuff over and over for somebody, for other people, but it's hard to pull it into your own life. And I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to do that. So bought this little Rambler, and with the idea we'd do some minor remodeling, like, you know, remodel stuff in place to, you know, new surfaces and things like that. And once we learned more about what was behind the walls, what was behind the surfaces, it was like, oh my God, we have to do a lot more here. So we gutted the whole thing and got it down to the studs, and, you know, so we could redo air sealing, redo insulation, put in all new windows, new systems, because the electrical was a mess. So, you know, rewired, replumbed. So it was almost like taking the bones of the house and redoing everything else. And we also added on a partial upper story, which gave us an opportunity in the end, since our budget was starting to get past what we could afford. A friend approached us about actually buying into the property and becoming a co-owner and living in the accessory dwelling unit that we were building upstairs. So,
which totally wasn't part of the original plan.
It
right?
was not part of the original plans. And so now, you know, we've got this micro co-housing community that has provided a lot of benefits. And, you know, there have been some challenges because then it's like another person to run ideas by. So there were a few things I wanted to do in the house that got voted out. Like, I wanted to make it all electric. It's like, you know, we ended up going with a gas on-demand water heater because the other two parties were not comfortable with, you know, thinking that they might run out of hot water if, you know, somebody's doing laundry and somebody else wants to shower, that kind of thing. So I would have made a few decisions differently if I was doing it on my own, but just like working with a client, another client, you have to make compromises. So anyway, I don't want to give away too much because my talk actually goes into a few more surprises and turns in the road that made things different than what we had expected. So I don't want to, you know, give any more away. But
okay, that's fair. Do you want to talk about a little bit, you know, just kind of in broad brush? We don't need to go into your situation, but just for those out here that are inspired, who want to, you know, hopefully see your talk, go check out others, but basically who might want to do some of this stuff themselves. You had mentioned about how it's pretty valuable to work with a contractor and work with folks who have some shared baseline knowledge. Just what are some good sort of practical tips like that you might want to share with the audience?
Well, it is a good thing to work with somebody who has experience in the systems and the goals that you have set out to attain. Otherwise you're training all the way through the process, and that can be really frustrating. And they can miss things that could be important.
And since most people are probably not actually the actual architect of the project themselves, that's pretty key.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was really important on our project for there to be an architect on site, because our builder ended up not understanding a lot of the things that we were wanting to accomplish. So me being the architect, I was, you know, the architect and the client, I was there a lot and kept finding things that needed to be corrected. A lot of people, you know, they buy a set of plans or they have an architect do plans for permit, and then they get a builder and they kind of say, you know, well, architect, I'll see you later. Thanks for the plans. The builder's going to do it now. There's so much value. And in the end, it's kind of like what we were talking about before with investing some time and money up front on some of the materials and processes to save you in the end. Same thing about your professional services. Invest a little to get to have your architect or building designer on site several times, maybe once a week, to keep an eye on things and point out anything that got missed so that it can be corrected before everything gets covered up and you never know about it. Because yeah, most people right. who have a project done like this, they don't know what to look for.
And so much that we're actually talking about is literally like what's behind walls, right? So you're not gonna see it. So
right.
yeah.
Kind of like the things that we didn't see when we bought the house. It was in one of those times when there was, you know, bidding going on. And so we had a pre-inspection, but they mm-hmm. didn't catch some of the stuff that we found when mm-hmm. we were actually starting some deconstruction. So even as professionals, you can miss stuff as far as what's up front. You can't see everything behind the walls until you start to take things apart.
Yep. So that's pretty helpful. Any other good kind of baseline lessons, again, just for people out there, what are some good things to think about if you're wanting to start pursuing this, maybe talking with an architect?
I would say I really suggest people form a team early on, if they want to do a project like this, rather than just hiring an architect and getting everything planned out and then putting stuff out to bid. Builders are really busy right now. And if you form a team, you can get on the builder's schedule early. And I've found that you're going to pay the same thing. Doesn't matter who you work with. The materials are the same. Labor costs are the same. You're going to, comparing apples to apples, you're going to get a very similar cost from one builder to another. So choose your builder, just like you choose your design professional, someone who understands you, someone who you're confident in, and someone who you enjoy spending time with, because they're going to be with you a long time. And depending on the type, if you're doing a remodel and it's a remodel that you're going to live in part of the house while they're doing work in another part, they're going to be in your home daily for months. So yeah, get somebody who you really like. So, and then form that team and get on their schedule early. So by the time the permit is ready to pick up, you can go. You're ready to go rather than waiting another 6 months for your builder to have time on their schedule, or longer. Right now, people are booked out quite a ways because there's a lot of demand because the people are spending a lot of time at home and they're noticing things that don't work so well, or, you know, that they'd really rather have something else going on.
Is that really what you're finding? That people are like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Yes. Yes. Of course, you know, that's balanced by not everyone is in a position to do that right now, but there are people who are.
I want to stress that there are, like, you did a whole remodel. There are ways that people can do stuff smaller. Like, if you're interested in these issues and these topics, and yeah, there's energy efficiency things. There are people you can do, like, blower door tests. There are incremental things that can be done as well, not just the whole enchilada. And I don't think that's always clear to folks. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, there are small things that you can do. There are things you can do yourself. If you have an energy audit done on your house, they will outline kind of the lowest hanging fruit and the next level and the next level. So especially if you have an older house, energy audit is a great place to start if you really just want to make it more comfortable and save some money on your energy bills. Because they'll identify all the leaky places and the places that it makes sense for you to put a little money. And if you're going to do, like, a kitchen remodel, it's like you've got this old kitchen that doesn't really work, and it's like you've been waiting to do this beautiful kitchen remodel, please include some energy upgrades in that remodel. It's a perfect time incorporate some things that's going to not just look good, but make your life better, and cut your energy bills.
I hope this isn't, you know, giving away a secret here, but, like, we were just talking the other day about how you actually got an induction stove, and I'm slightly obsessed with induction stoves. I think they're really great.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that if you're trying to go all electric, because a lot of people think that gas is clean energy. Well, that was because that's what their marketing said, but now even the power company is trying to divest in gas and move away from gas. So as you're trying to look at other options, gas cooking is one of those things that most people have. It's like, oh, I really love to cook on gas. Well, an induction stove is a electric stove that is as responsive as a gas stove without burning gas, without creating that, you know, the air quality issues that you get with burning gas. And gas. A lot of places, gas is mined by fracking.
Right.
And we've all heard.
It is. That's how you get it. You want to know how do you get natural gas? That is one of the primary methodologies.
Yeah, it is now. As the easy ways to get gas are, those resources are starting to dry up. So now they're doing fracking to get it. So yeah, it's time to find other options. And the Guild is a great resource for that. One of the things I love about the Eco Building Guild is that it's open source. People really are willing to share what they learn.
It's really just a bunch of professionals who just are really kind of, and no offense, and I'm including myself in this, kind of geek out on the fabulous technologies, right? There's like, oh my God, this is so great. It's so cool. Let's share it. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out how to do more of it.
Yeah.
That's totally. The energy.
So I've been a member of the Guild since the mid 90s. I'm one of the old timers there now, I guess. But it's my tribe. It's like where I can go and talk about this stuff and learn from other people. And, you know, most of the businesses that are involved are small businesses. So they're mom and pop places. So we all just, you know, it's very comfortable and it's a place to be.
And I should say, as a bit of a newcomer, there are also efforts of which I'm a part of, because I come to this again, I'm real estate agent, again, Infinity Real Estate Development based in Fremont, but I come at this with having more of a policy background and a kind of a community organizer background. And then I got into real estate, and actually how I got involved with the Guild, and I was like, well, wait a second. I used to work with an organization that did a lot of work with rain gardens and cisterns and all that sort of rainwater capture. And I wanted to, I just had a question. It's like, how do we help finance these things at the point of sale of a home? Because I was just, you know, thinking, okay, as in real estate, I want to be able to provide these resources to people who want to do it. And how, who want to invest in clean energy and various, you know, reduce their water consumption and all that stuff. And I got connected to the Guild, and there's such a wealth of knowledge. And thanks to myself and two other folks, there's expanding resources for those people who are like myself and others who are like, we may not know all the stuff. We may not have all the in-depth practitioner knowledge, but we'd like to. We'd like to figure out how to do it. We'd like to figure out how to do it on our own homes or help our clients do it on their homes. So it's this wealth of knowledge and an expanding base of opportunity for, you know, kind of 101 level, 102 level learning of how to do it. Because so many of us are at that beginning. They're like, I want to do it. But again, it's always that, how people are getting to know why, but it's like the how, and in a practical, digestible way, right? That's a goal, and that's something that the Guild is working on. I'm looking at time, and we just got a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure we get to, again, Slam Summit, 20th through the 22nd is the next round. Go to slamsummit.heysummit.com. Again, that's HEYSUMMIT, slamsummit.heysummit.com. Terry, tell us a little bit about the different ticket options and payment options that are available for folks, please.
Yeah. If you're a Guild member, you get a discount. But other than that, you can buy a ticket for a single session. You can buy a ticket for Slam only. You can buy a 5-pack, so to be able to attend 5 different sessions. You can buy the whole, you can buy just replays only. So rather than being involved in the daily events, you can just watch the replays, although then you miss the networking, which I think is my favorite part. And then there's all access passes. for both developers and general public. So it's there's lots of options. You can find something there that's going to work for you.
Awesome. And again, you can go through it and, you know, like I said, you can replay things that have already been done. Lots of options for everybody. So I'm looking at the time. We actually got to go. This always goes so fast. I am your host, Rebecca Sayre. This has been the Sustainability Sessions. Terry Thalen, thank you so much for joining us today. And good luck with your presentation at the SLAM Summit next Tuesday.